And of course, one of the first things we're going to talk about is yesterday, Sunday, the great services that we had with Brother Deathridge yesterday. But even before Brother Deathridge got onto the pulpit, everyone, you heard the underlying theme that was talked about, prayer and the right type of prayer and how that we have to get into that spirit of prayer. Pastor Clark's been talking about it. Brother Rowell's been talking about it. And I think Brother Rowell's the one that mentioned it yesterday, that even before our service, in the pre-service prayer, the men were together in the sanctuary praying, and Pastor Clark started to talk about it. And I'll just say it, Brother Sprinkle just started to travail in intercessory-style prayer there, just us five or six, seven men. And as soon as I heard that, boy, something in me rose up and said, that's what we're needing. That, and you know it. We all know it, everyone. When you hear that fervent prayer, call of cry in prayer of intercession or of travail, something in you begins to rise up and hunger after that and thirst after that. We want that. We need that. And that's exactly what took place yesterday morning. And then Pastor Clark reminded all of us, that's exactly right, Brother Sprinkle. That's what we're needing. We need to get into that type of prayer. And so so later in the message, Brother Rowell, I think, brought it up again. And then Brother Deathridge, as he began to preach, you saw what happened. He went in a different direction. He got into that vein, and he started talking about prayer, and how that we got to get into that anointed, intercessory style prayer, because we're going to have to develop a burden and a hunger for lost souls. But the only place it's going to take place is when we get into that type of prayer, where we remove ourselves, we get ourselves out of the way, and we let that anointing begin to settle in. Hallelujah. But just thinking about it, I'm feeling it right now. So with that said, let's get into this a little bit. I wasn't sure exactly what direction we were going to go in tonight, but I feel like we're going to go ahead and talk about this for just a little bit here. I thought about this in prayer, I think last night or this morning, in Spanish revival, and said, don't worry, today's not English or bilingual, but I kept thinking of this in prayer the other day, avivamiento. Revival in Spanish is avivamiento, and avivamiento, the root word, the core word is viva, or to have life, to be alive, or to make alive again, make something that's dead or dormant to make it alive again. And that's what avivamiento means. Of course, revive, you know, means wake someone up, revive something to awake something or awaken something in us. And that is, of course, the spirit that we're feeling. And someone brought it up. It's been brought up a few times in the last couple of weeks that we have revival. There is a spirit of revival taking place in our church. You heard what Brother Rowell and Sister Rowell talked about yesterday, of all the work that's been done, all the work that's been taking place in our church. Now, someone might think, well, what does that have to do with revival? Well, it has a lot to do with revival, because it's not just a spiritual thing that we feel in the church house on a service night or a service morning, but it's everything that's taking place where the rest of the body of Christ is working together in unity. And that's one of the biggest pieces here, everybody. Unity. When we can work together in unity, we can get things done. Yes, but there's something that takes place. We're talking with some of the guys when we were working in the last several weeks. There is a bonding that takes place. And we get to know each other a little bit better. We get to feel more comfortable working with each other. Somehow you begin to be more patient and understanding with your brother and your sister when you can't get something done. You need your help. Hey, brother, can help me with this? Or sister, come help me with this. And when you begin to help that brother or that sister, or they help you, all of a sudden you realize, hey, I can't do this on my own. I'm not an island unto myself. I need my brother's help. I need my sister's help. And we're all imperfect. We all had flaws. But when we can come together in unity and help each other, there's something great that takes place, something spiritual that takes place. It's part of revival. And we've been feeling this for several weeks now. Another point that was brought up was miracles. Brother Deathridge talked about miracles. And he talked about the example of Peter and John going to pray at the hour of prayer. He really focused on that. They were on the way to the church house at the hour of prayer. They were focused on one thing. We got to get to church. We got to pray. We know that there's a certain routine that we have to abide by. We've got to get to the church house. We've got to pray. We know that's where things are going to take place. And sure enough, on the way to church, that's where the miracle was waiting to take place. So those are another huge ingredient, prayer. And we know that. We understand that. Our pastor has been teaching and preaching this, and in recent times he's really gotten after it. And you've heard him over the pulpit and kind of, you know, may reminding us, we got to get into church. As if we, even if we come in for 5 or 10 minutes during the week, if we live too far away, or we just have our schedule that's too full, we're getting home tired, but if we could just get to the altar in the sanctuary for 5, 10 minutes, there's a sacrifice. There's an offering of sacrifice that we're offering before the Lord, and the Lord takes it all into account, everybody. And that's where the miracle begins. Praise God. Brother Deathwood's talked about miracle. He talked about healing. Boy, that's been a theme that's been going on for weeks now, everybody. Healing. There's been many people in our church that have had sickness or ailment or some type of infirmity. But for some reason, the Lord has allowed us to go through this season with several of our people. And not just a few, but a handful of people. I'm thinking of a sister Ponce and a sister Lavenant that went through a long-term ailment, infirmity, and they're just now coming out of it. I saw sister Ponce, sister Lavenant last night, and it made me feel good inside to see that they're standing up, amening the preacher as the preacher is preaching, and their sister Ponce supporting us. But for so long, she was laid out, everybody. And for a period of time, Pastor Clark talked about it. He was afraid that she may not make it out. But she's here with us. She's regaining her strength little by little. And it's just another testament, another example of how that the Lord is still providing miracles of healing. Brother Deathwood talked about that interesting thing that happened with his wife. I think it was in the morning service that she leans over to him and says, I feel sick, or sick to my stomach. Or she just felt this like an ailment coming over her. And he had the whole church pray, and afterwards she told him, hey, as soon as you had everyone pray, it left me. It left me immediately. Just another example. I feel like that's the Lord showing us, hey, there's going to be things that come against us. It may be something momentary. It may be something midterm, long-term. But if we can just learn to get into prayer and to bind together as a group in prayer, there's nothing that can come against us. We're going to be able to overcome any situation, any trial, any test, any tribulation of sickness or infirmity that comes against us. Praise God. Miracles. Healing. We've been talking about this for quite a while. And then Brother Deathridge brought up a scripture that I brought up here in just the last week. James chapter 5 and verse 16. I'm going to go ahead and read it again. I think we can quote it by now because we've been talking about it. So often, it talks about confessing your faults one to another. Pray for one another that ye may be healed. And I'm just checking the verse right now to make sure I'm not misquoting that verse. Sure enough, confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman availeth much. And we talked about this, confessing your faults one to another. Sometimes there's things that we don't feel comfortable sharing with everybody. We pray certain things in our prayer closet. The Lord knows about it. We can talk about it with our pastor or someone that we confide in, leadership or someone that that's close to us. But it's about confessing your faults one to another. There's something that happens when you open up and you lower your walls of pride or your self-righteousness or whatever it might be. And when you confess those faults one to another, then you're able to pray for one another. Why? Because now you know what your brother's need is. You know what your sister's need is. And when you pray for one another, what's going to happen? That you may be healed. And we talked about this in the last week. Healing what? Natural physical healing? Yes, yes. But I believe that means more than just a natural healing, everybody. There's a mental healing, an emotional healing, a spiritual healing, and so much of this that we've heard in recent times. New people that are coming into the church with all sorts of ailments and infirmities that are not just physical, emotional, psychological. And you can think of some of yourself right now. There's things that people are dealing with now in the last 10, 20 years that we haven't dealt with in the past. I haven't heard young people, even people that are close to me, relatives coming to me that are young people, talking about this sadness, oppression, depression. Someone just texted in, very accurate. Sister Christine just texted in, very accurate. And I know she's dealing with things that I believe in her family as well. But young people that are dealing with depression and you hear about suicidal thoughts, young people, I mean, we didn't deal with that 20 years ago, 30 years ago or more. But this is just another reason why we've got to be able to confess our faults one to another so that we'll know how to pray for each other, that we may be healed in the different ways that we need to be healed. And the second half of that verse is the second half that we all remember, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman availeth much. Effectual, effectual is something effective. In Spanish, it uses the word eficaz. It's something that's efficient, it's effectual, it's powerful, it's fervent. It's not just a little prayer that, oh Lord, it'd be nice if you could do this. I'm bringing you my family's name before you, my mother, my brother, my family member. No, we're going to do this with fervency, with emotion, with a desire. Brother Azar talked about this here just a few weeks ago, that effectual, fervent prayer. You're going to do it emotionally with a desire, with a burden in your gut. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman availeth much. It's going to accomplish much. It's going to be effective. It's going to hit the mark. But again, we got to remember the first half of that verse. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. Praise God. I'm going to go ahead and just mention it right now. If anybody, and I did this just a few weeks ago and we heard some great things, I'm not going to open it up to everyone, but if anyone wants to share a testimony or a word, go ahead and text in and we will open up your line if you're on the call. If there's a word of testimony, a word of faith, a good report that you want to share with everybody, go ahead and text it in and we will open up your line here in just the next few minutes. If you don't feel it, you don't have to, but if you feel it, go ahead and text it in and we will go ahead and open up the line for you. Again, what are we doing? We're promoting what's taking place right now in the last several weeks, revival. There are great things that are taking place. Why is that revival taking place? Well, you remember about a month ago, Pastor Clark made it very clear, we need to get down here to the church and pray. I remember seeing that prayer book filled up for the next few days, a page, a full page, a half a page, almost an entire page of two or three rows of names that were being written down for that next week. And then we began to see results, everybody. Do you see that? The effectual, fervent prayer of our brothers, of our sisters that were coming in, it began to take root. It began to take place. And then we began to see results taking place. It works. It works. Brother Deathridge said something last night, I think yesterday morning or last night. He says, you just come, you begin to pray in this way that we're talking about, this effectual, fervent prayer, and you come to the church house, he said. Come put your name in the book. He said, he's been looking at the book. He's been reading the book. And you watch what's going to take place in the next 7 days. I don't think I'm misquoting him. He said something to that effect. You watch what's going to take place in the next 7 days as you begin to do this. Something great is going to begin to take place. Praise God. Everybody, I didn't want to go too long with this evening. One more note I made. We were in the fellowship meeting or the fellowship hall last night. We were all gathered together having fellowship and food and nachos and all that. And at one point in the back, I saw Sister Rao, and I don't know how it came up, but she said something about, we were talking about the great service that we had with Brother and Sister Deathridge, and she mentioned something about, hey, we're going to try to get them back real soon, as soon as they finish up a revival that they're going to be having in the next month or so. And as soon as she said that, she said something about, in the meantime, we got to just keep on, we got to stay on top of this. We got to keep this fire going. And I said, you know, Sister Rao, you're right. And it is up to us. It's up to us, everyone, the church, to get a hold of this, own it individually, take personal responsibility, and make sure that we keep this fire of revival burning. As soon as she said that, it clicked in my little brain, and I got it. This is something that we each need to do. We cannot expect an evangelist. How many times have we heard an evangelist say, hey, I don't bring revival. I don't carry revival in my briefcase. It's not something that I carry with me, and I bring it out. Now, he's here to spark the fire of faith in us. He's here to ignite faith in us so that he can push us into revival, trigger the spirit of revival. But it's not the evangelist that brings the revival, everybody. And as soon as Sister Rao told me that, we've got to do our part to make sure that we're going to keep the fire of revival going until this evangelist comes back. I saw it, everybody. I got it. Sister Ryle, it's up to us. I've got to do my part. We've got to do our part. Each and every one of us have got to realize everything that Pastor has been telling us in the last several weeks. I've got to offer my little time of prayer, even if it's only 10 minutes, 15 minutes. Maybe I can come once a week, twice a week, but I've got to do this. Everybody, if everyone were doing this, if everyone were doing this faithfully once or twice a week, just imagine how many names would be in that prayer book. Just imagine how many prayers would be offered at the altar, and then the Lord would be taking notice. Everybody, we've got to do our part. This is how we're going to keep the fires of revival going until this preacher or the next evangelist comes, and we're going to be going from faith to faith, everybody. We're going to keep this fire of revival. I hope you're feeling what we're talking about tonight. This is not something that just a Brother Ryle or a Brother Prime or someone in leadership offers up, everybody, but this is something that all of us are a part of. We are a part of our church. I still remember the message Brother Prime preached on a Sunday a few years ago about ownership, about having ownership in our church. Boy, even as I said that, I'm thinking of everybody that invested time and work and sacrifice in the last several weeks. But Sister Raul mentioned Brother Dave, you know, who really made an effort in coming out to help do the cleanup and the repairs and the maintenance and painting and all that took place in our church in the last several weeks. Well, everybody, everyone showed some ownership, investment in our church in the last several weeks. Well, let's continue that same spirit of ownership moving forward in prayer, in fasting, in binding together. And you know what? I'm going to say this. I just felt this right now. How many times have we done things on our own? And I'm guilty of this in the past. Brother Vic has been guilty of this in the past, where you kind of feel like you're an island unto yourself. I know when the Lord first rescued me and brought me back more than 10 years ago to this church, our church, I was kind of a loner. I was the lone wolf. I just did things on my own. But I started learning over a period of time, I've got to connect with someone. I can't do this on my own. I'm no one on my own. I've got to connect with someone, and I've got to work together in unity with somebody else. Well, everybody, let's do that. If you find yourself where you're not really binding with someone in confessing your faults one to another, or you're not binding with someone in prayer, let's begin to do that. Let's search someone that we have confidence and we have fuel, that we get some support from that person, and let's get together, bind together, and let's work together in unity. Just last night I was talking to somebody, one of the men, I won't mention him, a good man. And that good man came to me several nights ago, and he began to open up with me about certain things, confessing certain things. And that's something, we just read that. He began to confess certain things. And it wasn't bad stuff. It was just some things that he felt. And he began to open up with me. And as he began to share these things, I was honored. I was honored. I thought, boy, this person really feels confidence in me to be able to share these things with me. And I shared some things in return. And at the end of it, I felt like, you know what? This was good. This is right. We've got to be able to open up with each other about certain things. And several nights after that, I realized something. This certain brother, he has not, since he's been here, he hasn't opened up with anybody. Really, he hasn't been able to share things of confidence, in confidence, with anyone else until he came to me and began to do that. Number one, I feel honored. I feel privileged for that to happen. But more importantly, this is good for him, because now he doesn't have to hold all of these things inside. If there's an issue that arises, an offense that takes place, and there was some of that there. There was a little bit of an offense that took place, and he was just holding it inside. He wasn't really sharing it with anybody. But that's another reason why we got to be able to confess some things to someone in confidence, someone that we trust, because otherwise the enemy is going to use that, everybody, as a stumbling block, and that's the last thing we want right now. We are in revival. There is a spirit of revival, and the enemy is going to try to use anything to create division, to create an offense. Hallelujah. Boy, I'm feeling the Holy Ghost just saying that, everybody. Let's learn the different things that are taking place in the last several weeks and months, and let's learn from our mistakes. Let's learn to pray together, to bind together. And I'm watching here, and nobody's texted in. No one has a word of testimony. I'm not going to put anyone on the spot. That's okay, everybody. We may do this next week. And if you feel a testimony, if you feel a word that you want to share with someone here in the next several weeks, please feel free to do it. Praise God. Well, that is pretty much it. That rounds out what we're talking about tonight. And I'm looking one more time. I'm going to just read something here. Sister Christine texted, "The blood of Jesus Christ over the minds of our children." The blood of Jesus Christ over the minds of our children. And she just asked, "Can you please put Chris on the phone tree so he can get notification?" Oh, okay, that's something separate. But yes, the blood of Jesus Christ over the minds of our children. Yes, we're going to be praying for that. And I'm watching to see if anyone's texted in. All right, Sister Cindy Taft texted a message in. We do our part, God does His. We do our part, and God does His. And thank you for that, Sister Cindy. You know, and I'm glad she said that. Everybody, I think sometimes we feel minimized. You know, we hear a pastor get up there. We hear Brother Rao get up. We hear somebody get up and say some great things. And I think many times we feel kind of like, well, you know, I'm not leadership. I don't have a voice. Everybody, we all have a voice. And if we can just donate or pitch in with our small investment of prayer or a good word, it just takes a little word to somebody that's having a terrible time, and you give them that one good little word, it's going to lift them up. It's going to fill them full of confidence, full of support, full of joy, everybody. Hey, to us it may not be a big thing, but to that individual it may be the thing that takes them up to that next level and pulls them out of that pit of oppression, that pit of darkness, that pit of hopelessness, everybody. You think I'm just saying this. It is the truth. And some of you, even as I'm saying this, you're saying, amen. It's the truth. How many times have we been in our past in a situation where we're just going through a dark and dreary place, but all of a sudden we get a text message or a phone call, or a brother and sister gives us a, hey, I've been praying for you. The Lord put you in my heart to pray for you. And it could be that one little thing. To us, it's a little thing, but to them, it's monumental. It's something that's going to just lift them up, everybody. Praise God. All right, let me see if I got some more text messages. No, I'm not getting any more text messages. Well, I'm not going to put anybody else on the spot, everybody. I hope you felt what we were talking about tonight, everybody. We're in the spirit of revival, but the revival needs to come to us individually before it comes to the whole group. And I know there is a experience of personal revival taking place with several of us individually. Let's continue to spread that fire of revival. Praise God, moving forward. With that said, everybody, we're going to go ahead and dismiss everybody. In the name of Jesus, we'll see you all on Wednesday night. And may God bless all of you. In el nombre de Jesus, praise God. In Jesus' name, amen.